This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
So, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A lot of debate today. Sirianni, Jalen, bigger concern moving forward for the Eagles. They are 2-1, though, which is the good thing. And a big-time defensive performance to show for it on Sunday against Saints. Let's talk about that and the decision-making of the head coach with our next guest, Kyle. Seth Joyner set to join us.
Yeah, and Seth's sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook pre- and post-game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how you doing today?
Seth!
What's happening, fellas?
Well, you know, just a lot of, you know, nonsense and craziness at WIP, as always. Seth, let's start with the good from Sunday. The defense, they answered the bell, Seth, for the first time this season. What was different after you watched it, the way they played specifically up front this week?
Well, I think that, you know, I think Hugh will tell you from experience that, you know, pride can be, you know, a motivating factor. And it can also show that the lack of motivation. I think that Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter had enough of us talking crap about them all last week and set out to prove, you know, what they have. And now that we know what they possess, it's up to them to show up and produce it every single week, because this defense will only flourish to the point that they dominate. Because we don't have outside pass rush, so they're going to have to dominate on the inside, and they're going to have to take away the run. And if we can do that, if they play like that, that allows the linebackers to get downhill, allows the safety to fill gaps. You're not running sideways. And then it also helps the pass rush because, you know, even though you don't have premier pass rushers, you know, you put the offense in a more predictable, you know, position, which then allows the defense coordinator to be a little more creative.
When you talk about those outside pass rushes, Seth, what are you seeing from the guys on the corners, in particular Bryce Huff? What have you seen from him so far?
You know, I just put a post up a little while ago because I was thinking about it. You know, you remember back in training camp when Vic said, you know, well, you know, he's coming along, he's learning how to play the position?
Mm-hmm.
That just clicked in my mind like an hour ago. I was thinking about it. And I'm like, how do you pay $53 million to a project? And then when you think about it from the standpoint of the Jets, okay, the reason why, and I saw a tweet where this somebody said that he's playing less this year than he did last year for the Jets. What I started to think about it, I'm like, well, the reason why he wasn't playing for the Jets is because he's incomplete. You can put a guy in that's a pass rush specialist on obvious passing downs and let him go. But if he got to get in there, he got to rerun a pass on first and second down, you know, a third and short situations, he's a liability.
Mm.
Well, the Jets just pushed him on down the 95 and sent him to us. And he's still incomplete because in reality, and we, now don't get me wrong, we saw him set the edge a couple of times. But as far as being able to play on a consistent basis, he's too incomplete of a player. Mm. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Vic was saying all training camp, what he's learning, you know, he's learning how to play the position. You know, he's got to figure out some things. And I'm like, damn, I wish somebody would have paid me $53 million to learn.
to learn, like learn on-the-job training? Yeah, definitely.
Well, you're not the only one. I'm sure everyone would love that setup. Unfortunately, we got to deal with it, and so does Vic Fangio. Seth Joyner joining us here. Seth, through three games, Eagles are 2-1, but there's some questions about both the head coach and a lot of those with the decisions he's made and the quarterback, considering he has 6 turnovers so far. Seth, when you look at it, bigger concern rest of the season, is it Jalen's play, specifically the turnovers, or is it the decision-making and the in-game stuff with the head coach, Nick Sirianni?
Yeah, Joe, I just seen the WIP tweet. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Jalen's the problem. I believe that Nick 100% is the problem. You think about it. It hasn't been pretty. But Jalen has given his football team the opportunity to be 3-0 if you really stop and think about it. And all the turnovers and everything that went wrong, he kept battling it. He put this team in position to be 3-0. It's Nick Sirianni's decision-making that cost the Eagles, you know, the Falcons game. And almost cost them the Saints game. So I'm more worried about him interjecting into the offense and trying to prove his worth as a head coach because he doesn't have the play calling, you know, duties, and he doesn't have any say as to what goes on the defensive side of the ball. So he's trying to prove to Jeffrey and Howie, you know, hey, there's some validity here. He's trying to put his imprint on things, and he needs to just step back and let Kellen Moore do what it is that he's been brought here to do and take the pressure, leave Jalen alone. So I'm not worried about Jalen. Even the turnovers, yeah, they're an issue. But I've been around football long enough to know that, you know, things come in droves. You know, he will tell you about pass rushing. You know, sacks come in bunches. You'll go through dry spells and all kinds of things where you don't get sacks, you don't get tackles, you're not productive. And all of a sudden, the floodgates open, and boom, everything starts to, you know, go your way. So I know it's been a long sample size because you go back 7 games last year and through the first 3 this year, you know, he's just turning the ball over at a clip of about 2 turnovers per game. But I believe at some point in time, the tide's going to turn and it's going to go in the other direction for Jalen. I can't say that for Nick. Because Nick is caught between a rock and a hard place where, you know, he's been rendered powerless. The only decisions that he can make is, you know, do we go for it? Do we kick the field goal? Do we punt? So now, you know, if you're the head coach and you don't have any power, how do you interject yourself into the game? You do that by making the nonsensical decisions that he's made over the last 2 weeks. Second series last week, you've got to take the 3 points. Okay, got an opportunity before the end of the half this past week. You got to tie the game up. You come out after halftime. You go 10 plays, 37 yards. You in position for the field goal to tie the game. You decide to go for it. Jalen gets sacked on 4th and 3. Then you try Jake Elliott out there to kick a 60-yarder when you should have taken the other 2 chip shots and been up. Now think about the psychology of what's going on with your play when they see we went 15 plays, 78 yards. We went 10 plays, 37 yards, and we got absolutely nothing. There's a psychological side to this game that Nick Sirianni is detrimentally hurting this football team with. And he's got to step out of the way and let these players play and let these coordinators do what they're supposed to do and reap the benefits of it all.
Seth, if this continues with Sirianni, let's say we play it out this Sunday, similar kind of thing, and they leave points out there or he screws something up, do you think the players are going to start questioning him or losing faith that he knows what he's doing? Do you think that is on the table here if this continues to happen? Will they lose faith in him?
Well, listen, Joe, the players are front row and center. Players know who the players are, and players know when coaches are good coaches and when coaches aren't, okay? So now, I don't believe there's going to be a mutiny, you know, but I do think that at some point in time, you know, Jalen's going to have that conversation with Nick if it continues. Because, I mean, you don't understand that the confidence level, and everybody talks about, well, you know, these coaches, this is what they say, which is a bunch of BS. Well, you know what? You know, I just wanted to express confidence in my players. That's why we went for it on 4th and 2 there. No, no, no. You expressed confidence in them when they made the 53-damn-man roster, not by you going for it on 4th and 2 and not getting any points out of it. That's a bunch of BS. You know, so you don't do it that way. You express confidence in them by taking the 3 points and having the offense feel good about themselves that they got something out of the long drive and count on your defense is playing out of their minds that they're going to get the ball to you in good field position, and that you're going to go down and score the next possession. That's expressing confidence in your football team. So I don't know. I don't know who the voice of reason is. I don't know whether Howie walks from downstairs with his analytics guy and they make a decision that they can roll it back a little bit. But I don't see it stopping, because this is the mindset of people who live by this whole analytical thing, that this is what the numbers say and this is what we should do. Well, I think he went off the farm last week in those three conversations, because there's no way you can tell me that the analytics guy said on 4th and 1 with 15 seconds left on the clock and from the 15-yard line that you were supposed to go for, there was no benefit. You had to stop the clock, which will only left you 9 or 10 seconds. You got one play to throw in the end zone, and you're going to take your quarterback who's been turnover adverse and put him in that situation? No. No, you made that decision on your own, Nick Sirianni. You even made the decision to run the fake tush-push, you know, Saquon Barkley run. He made that decision. So he needs to step up and own that and stop avoiding that. But at the end of the day, he better do something, Joe, because to your point, you know, the players see it. And the players are going to get more and more pissed off. And when he starts costing them more games, then it's going to become an issue for him.
Yeah, there's no question. Seth, we appreciate it as always. Have a great week. Enjoy the Tampa game, and we'll catch up next week, Seth. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Got it, fellas.
There he goes. Seth Joyner there. Coming up, your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Hurt Sirianni, bigger concern moving forward. All right, we heard from Hugh. We heard from Seth on Nick Sirianni. But what about the current players? What are they saying about Nick? We'll hear from Goddard, Brandon Graham, what they are saying about Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the Midday Show. A lot to discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sirianni, we got to say thank you to our friends here over at Primo Hoagies, proud partner of the Phillies. Make your game day epic like Bryce's Sot and order Primo for all the Red October games this season. Online, primohoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. What'd you get today?
That Italian be banging,
Woo.
Though.
Is it good? Right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I got the Nona, the eggplant one.
No, it smelled pretty good, though.
Oh, this every time Primo's comes in here, it smells great, tastes great. What'd you get, Kyle?
I got a girthy one.
That's how to start the day right there.
The Schwartzy, I think, corned beef. Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
Big corned beef guy. What?
He wasn't ready for it.
No, I wasn't ready.
He's just being honest. He got a girthy.
No, it's girthy.
I wasn't ready.
Guy's just trying to talk about his hoagie, all right? Give him a break. All right, 215.
Hoagie talk, man.
592-9494. Hoagie talk and Eagles talk. It is WIP. Hurt Sirianni, who's the bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward? Lamar in Philly. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Joe? What's up, Hugh?
Hey, Lamar.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Joe, you had me arguing with Cop in a few seconds that he picked the call up, man. I can't believe you asking this question, man. You can't be serious, right?
I am serious. We got a coach and a quarterback that we all have questions about both right now. And the bigger concern is the quarterback, because he's more important, Lamar. They could just fire Sirianni tomorrow and get a new coach. The quarterback's more important to this whole thing.
You know what the issue is to me, Joe?
What?
Philly got an issue, and we're supposed to be known as this great sport town. We're supposed to be so intelligent when it comes to sports. The best two people I've heard speak so far on the topic has been Seth and the number one Hurts fans.
Oh, OG, yeah, that's right.
OG, like other than that, I mean, like
OG, who's trying to tell me that it doesn't matter if they turn the ball over because they keep winning. You can't keep doing
No, he didn't say that, Joe. He didn't just say that. He said not only does he win, he still puts you in position to win throughout the turnovers. I like that, Joe, because what we don't want is if you had a Carson Wentz or if you got that other stiff that's backing him up now, they won't turn the ball over. You know what they'll keep doing? They take horrendous sacks. 30 and 20-yard sacks, and you're looking like, man, now you're just hoping to throw an interception because they won't let the ball go. The guy has won. He's shown to me that he's trusted the receivers enough to take chances. Do I want him to back off the chances so much, Joe, a little bit? Yes. But overall, what he's bringing to the table is a complete stud. Now, I know Philly, Howie Rosen liked him like that because you know what, Joe? If Howie didn't like the stud and didn't like a puppet, Sirianni wouldn't be the coach. You'll have somebody like Seth being a coach. So right now, Sirianni's the biggest problem because he was supposed to be this bright offensive mind. Joe, what has he brought here that's been a bright offensive mind?
Nothing.
When they gave you all that garbage in their conversation.
Nothing.
Jeff Lurie spoke, then Howie spoke, and then we watched it. I always tell my kids, I don't care what anybody say. My kids are 6, 9, and 12. I pay attention to actions. They said he's a bright offensive mind out of their mouth. To me, I've called several shows to say he was a clown. This was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I've been saying he's a clown. Now he's just like, look, now he's just, it's baffling. It's like putting a woman in front of a bunch of intelligent guys, and you calling her a 10, and we all see a 1.
So, Lamar, I don't disagree with you, and that's an interesting way to describe Sirianni. I'm not a Sirianni guy, Lamar. You know that. I just think his importance to this, like, I need more out of Jalen. I think we'd both agree, Lamar. Jalen's more important. He's the trigger guy. He's got the ball in his hands every play. Sirianni's a problem. But, like, he can only screw so much up. It's a field goal here or a field goal there. They've taken away his power because you're right. He's not a bright offensive mind. They need Jalen to be really good, to great, to win a Super Bowl. And I see more average so far this season than that.
Well, you know what I need Jalen to be, Joe? I need Jalen to be who he was raised to be as quarterback. I don't need him to change anything. Because, honestly, other than that 7-game stretch, where you haven't spoken on that today. A lot of people talk about the negative side of the 7-game stretch, but you shouldn't have reporters outside of the area saying that over that stretch, throughout the whole season, it was Nick Sirianni plays, Nick Sirianni play calls. All you hear the media in Philly say, it was Jalen Hurts collapse, and it was Brian Johnson collapse. No, from what the lady off ESPN reported, it wasn't even an old offensive coordinator plays. It was all Nick Sirianni's offense. So his offense was so bad that you had Jalen in the Seattle game went rogue. Jalen and AJ just went rogue. Like,
I know. Lamar, I know.
He's a problem.
So, well, he is a problem. Lamar, we appreciate the phone call. So, all right. So, we want to excuse last year because of the nonsense would hurt with Sirianni and Johnson and the bad offense. All right. But you said it earlier, Hugh. Let's live in now, right? This year. This year, Kellen Moore, I think most people would say Kellen Moore is pretty bright, right? He's a good coordinator. 6 turnovers. Like, how many games in do we say you got to figure it out now? Like, no more turnovers. Like, how much longer can we do this where we say, well, he's learning the new offense? One more game? Is this it? We did 3.
Kind of like Seth said, this is it. Like, before Seth hung up, he said, we're gonna see this weekend. He said that. So this is the weekend where he has to play better. And this is, man, I tell you, it's gonna be a tough one.
Todd Bowles,
man, you got Todd Bowles, the guy who feels like he has a blueprint on Jalen.
Yeah, he's got him.
You're probably going to be going into this game receiverly challenged.
I like that phrase.
As far as your, yeah, you know, I just made that up.
That's a good one.
Just made that up. And you have to be, you got to be on point, man. This is the game. I feel like this is going to, and it's a long season, but man, it feels like this is the game where we're going to validate Jalen's parking ticket. And what I mean by that is this. You know, there's been a lot of talk and speculation about whether or not he's an elite quarterback. And if he's just an average quarterback, this is one of those weekends where you're going to have to put together one hell of a game plan. And if your defense plays as salty as they did last week, you're going to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on Jalen to pull a rabbit out of his hat. He's going to have to be Houdini this weekend or Chris Angel or one of them or John Dorenboss or whatever.
I like the Doran boss, right?
You had to be a magician
we
this
just
weekend.
Start naming famous magicians. What was the guy who used to do the TV show? David Blaine, was that his name?
Yeah, that was David Blaine.
David Blaine. we go through magicians here until we figure it out. Yeah, I mean, Jalen might have to really pull a rabbit out of his hat without his receivers. I mean, there is a chance this weekend the receiving core is Paris Campbell, Jahan Dotson, and Johnny Wilson.
Oh, my gosh, it's awful.
It's tough, man. I was thinking about that this week, you know, as we prepare for this game this weekend. Like, Jalen's going to be in a situation because a lot of people have said, like, Saquon's still going to be there, and I think you have to be creative in the way that you get him the football, and he's going to have to be a factor. Dallas Goedert has emerged as a primary weapon. But still, you're talking about two guys that are, in my opinion, underneath players. And what I mean by that is, like, Saquon can stretch the field, but he's a running back, and he's probably going to have to come from out of the backfield to do that. And and when I think of Saquon being more of a factor, it was always in the slot position with those other two guys, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, right, flanking him. That's how I always envisioned it. Now, when you talk about him being the primary weapon in the passing game, he could still be that, but I don't think it's that big of a threat because now we're talking about, if I see him coming out of the backfield, I'll just put a corner and a running back, a linebacker on him. I have the safety come down. It's not that big of a threat. Like, when I look at this game coming up, if I'm Coach Bowles, I probably play a lot of zone because I don't look at any of these receivers as a real deep threat right now.
Not so scared.
I could just sit back, you know, and I think Haloti Ngata's still there, if I'm not mistaken, the big fella, right? Is he still there?
I don't think Haloti's there.
Who's the big guy that they got some? They got some dogs in the middle. They got a big
Vita
fella.
Vea.
That's who I meant. That's who the big fella, Vita Vea. Vita Vea. Vita Vea. Vita Vea.
Vita Vea.
Vita Vea.
VITAVEA.
Don't do me like that. That's who I meant, though. I said Haloti Ngata, but I meant Menominee.
I think when I hear his name, I think of Velveeta. Remember the cheese? You melt that cheese?
Eric Bieniemy. He just wrote them all out. But the point is this. When I think of these matchups, this offense is not as big of a threat that it once was because of the unknown factor. Like, I don't know how Coach Goober is going to attack them. I don't know how Coach Moore is going to come after them. But it's not if I'm playing defense against them, I just let my front line eat. I let them play.
So Vita Vea did miss the game. They lost to the Broncos this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at a quote here from Bowles yesterday saying he's not sure for this week. They're going to have to see how the week progresses. So they're banged up. So they missed Vita Vea, and they lost without him. The Broncos beat them in Tampa this past week. So that's the injury report's going to be a big thing this week. Chuck in Manary. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio?
What up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, listen, real quick, right? I got two things, right? I want to say something about Jalen Hurts, and I want to say something about Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni, to me, right, the distraction is real. And we shouldn't have to be going into this week talking about our head coach every week. That's what's bothering me. I mean, you got to know yourself. If you knew you couldn't handle the emotion, then why not just walk away from the job like Doug did? I mean, I understand there's only 32 jobs out there, head coaching jobs, but I believe that if he would have stayed on business and walked away from that job, you know, and say, you know what, I'm a winning coach. I've been in the Super Bowl. I've been in the playoffs every year. I can go somewhere else and find another job. If you want to open up this
walk away from no $7 million.
I would have respected if he did that. I would have respected that.
Walk away from no $7 million. Y'all both drunk.
Yeah, but they neutered him.
You can have mine. You can have mine for $7 million.
Regardless, he was under contract.
No, you can't have mine. I'll take that back. You're right.
If he was fired, he would have got paid. He still would have got paid. He was under contract. So that money don't matter. You knew you could not accept this role. Now you're being a distraction to the team, an unnecessary distraction, and it's really getting on my nerves because we should be talking about a 2-1 ball club and how we can improve, but yet then we're still talking about the head coach and it bothers me. But I just want to say something real quick about Jalen, right? You know, Monday night when I watched the Commanders play and Jaden Daniels play, you remember that scene off Rocky where Apollo Creed trainer was watching Rocky in the meat house? And he told Apollo, come over, you might want to take a look at this.
Yep.
And Apollo said, no, I'm all right. I don't need to look at that. Well, I think the Eagles need to take a look at the Washington Commanders. Yeah, they're for real. And they've given us problems in the past without a quarterback. And that quarterback is for real, man. And what I'm saying to you right now, the days of walking over the Commanders and stumping them, those days are over. They believe they got a quarterback, they got a coach, they got an offensive coordinator down there that's doing this thing. And I tell you, I need Jalen Hurts to play better. I don't need the excuses of if you turn the ball over, we still can win. I need more than just a 15-12 victory. And I know he was missing some players. We banged up. But when these guys get healthy, I'm going to need my quarterback to to play better, to even win this division, because Washington is going to be there at the end of the year. When I look at that team, and I look at that coach, and I look at that quarterback, they are for real. And if you think not, you better wake up and smell it.
Chuck, I agree. Chuck, I agree. You know, normally, and Chuck, good phone call.
Can you have my stones for $7 million?
That's your call, buddy.
I'm not, that's a lot. But $7 million is a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, you can make money. I mean, you lose those.
That's a wrap. You can't. Yeah.
That's it. As far as Chuck's take on the Commanders, I agree with him. I think normally in the NFC East, if the Cowboys were looking as bad as they do right now, the Cowboys look like garbage. I don't think they're very good. We would say, we're fine. Cowboys aren't much. The Giants stink as usual, and the Commanders. Chuck was talking about the game Monday night. That throw that Jaden Daniels made. End of the game, Bengals trying to get the football back to win. They send a blitz after him. He stands there. Terry McLaurin was on the 20-yard line when he released that football as he's getting hit, and he threw it into a spot in the back of the end zone. And
I saw it.
It was like my eyebrows went like, uh-oh, they got a quarterback.
To Chuck's point, I was like, damn, Joe might be onto something. That's the first time, because I've heard about him playing, and I know he didn't have any turnovers or whatever. But I was like, wow, this cat look like he might be something. He might have something.
Yeah, and that means they'll be decent. Like, I don't think they're going to win 11 games or 12 games. But if they can win 9 or 10, all of a sudden we got ourselves something we got to deal with in the NFCs. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
Yo, what's going on,
Hey, Chris. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
You ready for a beatdown this weekend?
We're
matched up.
Yeah, you got Chris.
Let me check my fantasy football. I had to go get a running back.
By the way, while we're on this topic, Derek called the other day. You know, he was ripping me, right, for how he blew me out.
Yeah.
The final score, he beat me by like 8 points. It was competitive.
I got beat like 13 points. So, yeah. I had a moral victory.
There's going to be some drumming going on this weekend, Hugh.
You're talking about moral victories at fantasy, Hugh?
That's all I got.
No, come on.
Right. I mean, and right now, like as I'm looking at it, Chris, I'm favored. Not by a whole lot, but I am favored.
Like the Eagles this week.
Yeah,
but I'm I take the favorite. And I'm looking at your roster right now. You got some questionable individuals on the roster.
You don't want none of this, you. You don't want this.
we fantasy football trash talking.
That's right. That's right. All right, what are you thinking about the Eagles
here? Important things here. Yeah. Here's what I think about the Eagles. Guys, I'm starting to get a little nervous here. I feel some fleece coming over me again. I feel like I've been here before. You know, he's been on watch. Kyle put him on watch. I feel like, you know, maybe we're getting ready to name the storm and call it a disaster. Joe, you said something that terrified me. You talked about how he keeps throwing to his right and he rolls out to his right.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposing team saying he can't throw across his body and he can't throw that side of the field. I had a flashback. Do you guys remember Rick Meyer?
Of course, the Seahawks quarterback, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it was the same thing. He came out on fire, and then defenses realized, yo, he can't throw the other side of the field, and that was a wrap. So I hope you're not right with that, and I hope that's not what we're watching here is the Rick Meyer show. But
so, Chris, before you go on, there was a moment in the game when Jalen fumbled on Sunday. I thought it was interesting. Greg Olsen, because I think sometimes when these broadcasters say something, it's like they heard it from the coaches, and they're kind of relaying it in a way without saying it. He said the Saints want him to go left. When he goes left, bad things happen for him, whether it be incomplete, turnovers, fumbles, and he said when they want to flush him left. Like that's the book now. The league says flush him left and something bad's going to happen for the Eagles.
That's just a bad, bad sign, guys. And here's the thing with it. Right now, he is a turnover machine. I'm sorry, you can't win like this. You don't win like this. And here's the thing that I have to say to OG, and much respect, love OG, but OG, here's the problem with his turnovers. It's the time and place in which he throws them. You can't be throwing picks in back of your own end zone. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. You get in a red zone, you got to get points. And again, that brings Nick into this too. But that's where you can't do that. You can't make those things. And then this other nonsense line that some of these, you know, Dalen Pompom people say about, oh, he's a young quarterback, he's a young quarterback. No, he isn't. This is his fifth year as a starter in the NFL. He started 4 games that first year. So, again, you want to call him this is his fourth year as the starter? Hugh, correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't he be considered a veteran quarterback?
He's a veteran quarterback. He's a veteran quarterback, no doubt.
Yeah. So let's stop with the, like, acting like the guy's in his rookie year or his second year nonsense. So what I need him to do is make some better damn decisions. And he's what's got me terrified. Because, again, I think Nick is garbage. Told you guys that. Wanted him fired on Monday. But, yes, they can just fire Nick, and they could just replace him. The problem with Jalen is you got a contract, you got money, you got a lot of resources tied up in this guy, and I'm also sick and tired of hearing, well, he didn't have A.J. Brown. Okay, well, if he doesn't have A.J. Brown, then if he's that good, he should be able to perform. You know who's somebody else that got a lot of criticism and a lot of people said, oh, well, Josh Allen's trash? Josh Allen lost both of his top wide receivers and has got a whole new group up there. And guess what Josh Allen is doing? Winning.
Yeah,
and
he's dominating. Yeah,
he's throwing the ball, too.
Chris, it's a really good point.
One last thing for you. One last thing. Maybe when we fire Nick next year, do we bring Shane Steichen back? Because he might be free.
Well, I would be into that idea. Chris, we appreciate the phone call. So, well, yeah, well, I mean... a lot of ideas if we get rid of Nick. I mean, what we're going to do with that spot. So one thing quick, and then we hear from Goddard and BG defending Sirianni here. So we do this thing we call him a young quarterback, but it's become a young quarterback league, right? So relatively to the rest of the league, young is Jalen?
He's a vet.
So I'm trying to go through this in my head quickly. I think in terms of like when he got in the league 5 years ago, I think there's only like 10 or 11 quarterbacks that were drafted and that are starters that were drafted earlier than him. You know, like obviously Rodgers, Stafford, those guys are old guys. Dak, Carr, those are older guys, Goff. But then, like, it's him, right? Most of these guys, I think it's about 11th or 12th in the NFL. All right, let's get to a couple of players defending Sirianni, the players, how they feel right now. First, Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham showed the other night. Here's what he said about Nick Sirianni and his importance to this whole thing.
He's the head man. I mean, people got to remember, we just went to the Super Bowl with him. Then, on top of that, you lose coaches when you go to the Super Bowl. Then you got to kind of rebuild a little bit. We got a good roster for sure, but I mean, I just think people being a little too tough, and this one into the second year of like, now he got good core, like, you know, all the stuff is coming together. They see where they messed up on some stuff, and I just look at it like, man, you just got to make sure that you just ride. If you ride all the way through, and I know Nick is the man for the job, because man, we wouldn't be playing for him the way we played for him yesterday.
I mean, I can't argue with the last point. They do still play hard for him. No one's quit on Sirianni. It's just a matter of will he become distraction? Yeah.
He do bonehead stuff. I mean, and I think, like, BG is always positive.
He is.
That's one thing that BG always is. And BG is always going to see the bright side of things. That's just, I love that about him.
Silver lining, BG.
Yeah, but man, the reality of this whole thing is, man, you can't tell me that there wasn't a moment when BG's sitting on the sideline and they say, hey, 15 seconds left on the clock, we're going in a half. I'm going to fool them.
Yeah, I'm going to get them now.
I'm going to get them, Joe. Hey, dude, they ain't going to see this one coming. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to line up in the tush push, y'all. But I'm going to fake it.
He thought he had him.
He thought he had him, like, with confidence. And as a player, like, there are not many times that I questioned Big Red and some of the things that he did. But when I did, it was like, damn, coach, what the hell are you doing?
What in the world?
And you got to, like, it's natural. And you get over it, and you still trust. But, like, the whole receiver thing, I was like, damn. We went to two NFC championship games, and I love the guys that I played with. But I'm like, damn, we need another weapon.
Yeah, they won. You did.
We need another weapon. And as soon as we got another weapon.
Boom.
There you have it.
Super Bowl. Let's hear from Dallas Goedert, also on the head coach. This is Dallas with Pat McAfee.
He's incredible. He's the same person every day. He brings energy. He wants the most and gets the most out of all the players. You know, it's always tough to be a coach in Philadelphia. Even when you win, they want your head and don't think you're doing the right thing. But, you know, we got all the faith in Sirianni. He's got all the faith in us, which is really cool. And that's why he goes for it on fourth down so much, because he trusts his players and we trust him. And, you know, I think more so than the calls that he makes, we got to execute better as players and make sure we're able to get the job done in him, because, like I said, he trusts us. And that makes you feel good as a player when the coach has that much faith in his guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it, and that I think it's good if Sirianni's players do feel it that way. But it is fair to say that if this continues and they're asked a question every week about Sirianni, that's a distraction. 215-592-9494. Bigger concern moving forward. Sirianni, Hurts, there's questions right now about both despite a 2-1 record. All right, your phone call's coming up, and we'll get to last night's Phillies game. Not a pretty one. And an update on what's going on around the National League in the final few days of the season. That's next. Your calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
He inherited and he gave a runner's debt. He earned, so yeah, it was a rough day for him.
Yeah, watching him live is an experience. Yeah, I just, you know. People...
Did you see anybody with a 99 jersey on up there?
I did not, except the one on the mound giving up run after run. I know people get mad every fifth day. I just don't know what's Topper supposed to do.
What are you going to do?
Kobe Auer's not any good. Tanner Banks is a relief pitcher. Walker stinks. Like, at this point, they just got to get to the finish line. Unfortunately, they got a pitcher fish starter.
I'm over yelling about Tom Walker at this point.
Me too.
He can't really hurt us anymore. But
well, he could hurt for the one seed.
Well, yes. But what are they putting him in with the bases loaded for? I mean, there is only one way that is going to go.
Don't put him in a dirty inning.
We all know. Yeah. That was a bad move. If they were actually coach or managing to win that game, you put in somebody better there. When the game's at least within reach.
Yeah, it just feels like Groundhog Day. Every fifth day, everyone melts down. They lost a game. Taiwan's. We've done this 15 times this year. He's awful. We all know this. And we hope we don't have to see him in a Phillies uniform again. Hopefully, they get back on track tonight with Sanchez, and they can win the game. So, the Dodgers did lose last night, though. So, it wasn't a disastrous night. Now, they could have pulled back ahead. They didn't. They're still a half game back of the Dodgers for the top seed. Milwaukee did win last night, but the gap over Milwaukee is still 2.5 games, plus the tiebreaker. I'm not worried about the bye. The Dodgers thing will probably go right down to the final day of the season. Phillies last night, they do lose that game. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. We got Heavy in Wilmington. What's up, Heavy?
Heavy.
Yeah, man. I feel like Sirianni is the problem. The reason is because – now, I love Jalen, but the reason is because I feel like he has, like, that short man syndrome in the coach's room. I feel like they – He may be smart, but the other coaches probably suggest better options for him, and he don't listen to him, so he gets upset. So that's why he makes the mistakes he makes when it comes down to those specific plays. And when it comes to Jalen, I think that they tell him, okay, his first read is AJ on the right of the field or the left of the field, but whatever side AJ is on, he sticks to that read and doesn't look back. So by the time he looks back left or right, he has to scramble off, and it's too late. You know what I mean? And I played pre-tech in those. So as a defensive player, I love to chase after the quarterback. You know what I mean? So I feel like that Jalen Hurts needs to stick to what he knows is watching film, keep working on his mechanics, because they not letting him play out the gate. As one of the other callers said that, you know, Jaden Daniels, you could tell he's comfortable back there. Mm-hmm. He's playing like, you know what I mean? He's playing like a playmaker. You know, he's making them throws. And even – I forget which play it was, but even the play with Hurts, I think the Saints were rushing, and he threw a quick tech down, and he missed the pass. But Dallas Goedert was wide open. You know what I mean? So he just got to
– Oh, yeah. Kevy, I remember that. Greg Olson pointed on the broadcast that if he looked like Goedert was on the right side and then kind of went across to the left seam, he was wide open for a big gain. Yep.
Exactly. So I don't think they let him play out the gate. I think Sirianni wants him to stick to one guy, and then if he's not open now, they're telling him to go scramble off. You know what I mean? And that ain't going to work.
No. And if you're too slow and you read and you come back to it, then the safety's going to jump it. Yeah, that happens.
It's too late.
Yep. Heavy, good phone call there. Yeah, as far as Sirianni, so he said he has short man syndrome in the coaching room.
And that's what we call it, or little man complex. Little man complex.
It is awkward.
Or I mean, the mosh.
The whole thing. It's awkward.
That's my dog.
I know. We know that.
But yeah, with all due respect.
Yeah, with all due respect.
Is that how you preface things with all due respect?
Yeah, people keep telling me it doesn't work like that, but it really does.
You know what? I like this. Let's do it with Sirianni. With all due respect.
He stinks.
Get out of the way.
That's Hugh's new thing now. He thinks that saying with all due respect absolves him of anything.
It does absolve you.
Hugh, it doesn't.
It does.
But what if you disrespect after with all due respect?
Well, you can't really say nothing because it's like when you start with all due respect, they know it's not coming from
disrespect. No. So Hugh, say you're walking down Market Street, right? Mm-hmm. You see some random guy and you go, with all due respect, I think you look like a clown. How do you think that dude's going to take it?
He's probably going to look at me and be like, well.
He's going to take it with disrespect, Hugh.
He's going to say, he did say with all due respect.
I don't think.
That's how it works, man.
Dude,
I'm telling you. Trust me on this.
You're putting too much faith in the reasoning of the common Philadelphia.
You know what? Hugh, try it. Do it to someone today.
I'm going to do it today when I go to the grocery store.
Well, actually, hold on. I don't think it's a good sample with you because the person might not want to mess with you.
No, I'm just saying.
If I do it, it's not going to work.
No, I'm just saying. I'm going to do it today when I go to the grocery store.
Hugh, do it to the guy that's making the side comments about you at the Giant.
No, how about this, man?
Oh, I love this story.
It's a dude that, like, I go to the grocery store and he makes slick comments about, you know, being an Eagle and ain't won nothing. And I'm listening, right?
Like that you never won anything?
Well, he's like, this guy is, he ain't never won. And I'm listening. And I'm like, is Buddy talking to me? And I'll never say anything.
Well,
hold on.
How many other people in Giant at that time never won anything? He's got to be talking about you.
I know he's talking about me, but he's not talking to me.
Yeah, right. He's
talking at me.
Well, what if he said with all due respect first?
No, but here's the thing. And the last couple times, he's caught me in a good mood. If he's listening right now, Buddy, I'm just letting you know right now, you're going to catch me on a day where I'm not really dealing with it. And it's going to be a problem.
Or you could just say with all due respect, and then you'll be forced to take it with respect.
It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, and with all due respect, this segment sponsored by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat. This is my favorite. Hugh presented this story to us the other day, and I just couldn't stop.
He was genuinely miffed about
this
too.
This guy.
No,
never
and it's
won
like he's done it a couple times, right? And I let him go. But I said, this he going to catch me on one day, and I'm going to Yeah, he's going to catch me.
I hope this guy is a listener, and you walk into Giant today, and he's just, with all due respect, this guy never won a thing.
Yeah, if he do that, it's not today. If he's listening, I'm just telling you, kind sir, today is not the day.
Not today?
Today is not today.
With all due respect, though.
Get behind me, the Satan. Like, I'm serious. Because I'm not trying to hear it today.
But if he says with all due respect,
no,
I mean, you're kind of going against what you just said.
You got to
let it go.
This is the problem with that, though. Because if he does it now. No, because you've already laid the groundwork for the fact that, you know, you did this. And you know what's funny? I said I wasn't going to talk about this or that, but since you brought it up, I was. Because I was like, I really wanted to put hands on Buddy. But I was like, what would Rod say? That would be a problem.
Oh, well, it'd be a big problem.
It would be a problem. So I'm like, you know, but I'm like, yeah, that was my first thought.
We need you to think clearly, unlike the head coach, okay?
I'll be trying.
Yeah, please.
I'll be trying, but you know, you ever heard what they say? If you want one, if you're looking for one, you found them, that would be me on that day.
215-592-9494. All right, coming up next, we'll be joined by Elliot Shore Parks. His take on all this bigger issue right now, bigger concern moving forward. Is it Jalen? Is it Nick? His takeaway from the Saints game, and we'll look forward to week 4, a game in Tampa against the Buccaneers. And is Elliot got a little concern deep down about this Commanders team and Jaden Daniels? We'll talk about it all next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.